Welcome to the Right Division Network Podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word Rightly Divided. We'll be continuing today in our study going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4, and we've been looking at verse number 8, which says, "He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit." So we've spent the last couple episodes looking at this issue of the despising that the Apostle Paul is speaking about and the warning that he's giving related to that. We're going to be shifting into the aspect of talking about the things of what it says here at the last part of this verse when it says, "But God who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit," and looking at this aspect of how God is doing this for the individuals who have put their trust in the gospel message for today. And we see how when Paul is saying this, he's using this word "hath," meaning that this is something that already has been accomplished. You know, that's a past tense verb being used, describing the things of something of what has happened to those who have put their trust in the gospel message for today. We're going to read the gospel message. Just go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Because I want to read what the Apostle Paul identifies here that he calls my gospel throughout his epistles. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, we're going to read here the first four verses. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." This is the gospel message. That's the simplicity of what has been accomplished for us today. That's the message that when it talks about it's God's will that all men would be saved. This is the message that God intends for individuals to have put their trust in. This is the thing of that once this occurs, all of those blessings that we see become part of who we are. That's what we see. Let's go over to Ephesians chapter number 1. And we're going to see how Paul is going to use this terminology here. Again, talk about this, you know, using that word "hath," of how this is something that's already occurred. We read verse number 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." So the reality of who we are is that we have received all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. That becomes a reality the moment we put our trust in the gospel message. This is something that's not true of everybody, because if it was true of everybody, then we would be talking about the fact that all of mankind already has salvation. That's not a reality. The Scriptures do not teach that fact. They do not teach it. All mankind is going to be saved. It's God's will that all men would be saved. God wants all of mankind to have salvation. But unfortunately, not all of mankind will receive salvation, because not all of mankind will put their trust in that gospel message which we just read. Let's turn over, as long as we're here in the book of Ephesians, we're going to turn a couple more chapters over here to chapter number 4. And we're going to read here something else that it talks about, the thing of when it says what has already been done for us in verse number 32 of Ephesians chapter number 4. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So the issue of the fact that God has forgiven us, and again, hath forgiven, it's done for Christ's sake. Because we have put our trust in the gospel message, because he sees his son in us, he can give us that forgiveness. And it can only be given as a gift. And that's why you see during this dispensation the issue of talking about how things are a gift. You know, it's not something that's earned. It's not something that's being worked for. It is a free gift that has been given to us. And we see how the scriptures identify things, calling it a gift. We're here in Ephesians. Let's turn back a couple chapters now. We're going to turn to chapter number 2 here in the book of Ephesians. And we're going to read verses 8 and 9. We say, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So, we are saved, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. So, it's not us, it's our faith in what has been done, and how it's identified as being a gift. Now, as long as we're here, I do want to bring up verse 10, which does tie in with this, when it says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, we have our salvation. It's a gift. All of those blessings are truly a gift that we have. The end result of having that gift is that Paul identifies that we should walk in those good works. And that's something that, unfortunately, a lot of times when individuals are looking at this passage, everyone loves the quote, verses 8 and 9, and kind of forgets about verse number 10, the issue of those works, and those works coming about by allowing the doctrine to live in us and through us. That's when the good works result, and it's demonstrating that gift which has already been given to us, the gift that we already have, and that guarantee that we have of it. We didn't even read the passage in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, which talk about how we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, that the Spirit is the seal that keeps us as a member of the body of Christ, that keeps us in this position of where we have this gift, and that it becomes a permanent part of who we are. Let's turn over here to the book of Romans now. And we're going to Romans chapter number 6. And we're going to see another passage that's going to identify this issue of a gift that is being given unto us. Here we're going to read verse number 23 of Romans chapter 6. It says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So the issue of sin, if there was sin on the account of an individual, the only thing that could be there for them would be death. That's why it says, for the wages of sin is death. This is why, when we talk about the issue of what was truly accomplished at the cross at Calvary, was the issue of taking care of that issue of sin and taking care of it in a manner to where a believer is not able to commit that sin that would separate us from God. There's a sin that would be the transgression of the law. That's the one that leads to the wrath and leads to the death. And when it talks about the death, it's not talking about physical death, because it's appointed unto man once to die. So death is a guarantee for us. And we realize that as we get older and we see, you know, our body breaking down and we see all of the different problems that we start to have with our health and realize that death is getting closer and closer. So it's not talking about a physical death. When it says the wages of sin is death, it's talking about what the scriptures call the second death, that separation from God for all of eternity, and how if that death was there, then the person would be in the lake of fire for all of eternity, and how God has set it up so that way it's not a thing of us facing that, but we have a gift that has been given unto us, which is the gift of eternal life. And it's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Because when God looks at us, he doesn't see us, he sees his Son in us. That's why all of these things that we're reading about and studying today, why all of it can be true, because of the identity that we have, and it's no longer us that's actually being dealt with. Even though in our passage that we read, let's go back to our verse, because I want to read 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, verse 8 again, where it says, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. And so God has given, it says, unto us. Now, when it's talking about us, the issue is the Apostle Paul writes to those who are the members of the body of Christ. We see how when we look at the beginning of this epistle, that you see how he identifies the fact of his audience when he says in chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that the audience is the church, those who are part of that called out assembly. That's all that word church actually means. It's just a called out assembly or a called out group of people. And you know, we see how if you go back, you look in the scriptures, there are multiple things that are identified as being a church. You know, not all of them being that same entity, but we are talking about the body of Christ. In some of his other epistles, you see how, like for example, if we go over into the book of Philippians, we're going to read the first verse of Philippians chapter number 1, which says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. So he's identifying the fact that as he's writing this unto Philippi, he's writing it unto the saints who are Philippi, those who have put their trust in that gospel message. And if you really look at the idea of Philippi as a city, we use them as an example here, that there would essentially be, you know, a couple groups of people that he's writing to when he's talking about, you know, the Gentiles in this. It would be the saints, and, you know, I'm going to borrow a term that I've heard other individuals use. There's the saints and the ain'ts. You know, the ain'ts are those who have not put their trust in the gospel message. The saints are those who have put their trust in the gospel message. Paul writes to a very particular group of people, those who are the saints, the church, the body of Christ. So when he uses this term and says, unto us, that is who he is making a reference to, because he could not describe all of mankind as having received the gift of the Holy Ghost, because that is not something that those who are unsaved actually have. You know, that's why there is that struggle that occurs for individuals who have not put their trust in the gospel message to understand what the Word of God says, because the Spirit would be communicating with the Spirit that's inside of the individual, comparing spiritual things with spiritual to give an individual insight into what the Word of God says. But that can only occur when somebody has salvation and has the Spirit inside of them. You know, and I've made a reference to this verse multiple times. Let's turn over to 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Because we're going to read what truly is that will of God here in verse 4 of 1 Timothy chapter 2. And it says, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So God wants all of mankind to be saved. Now, individuals take this and turn it into a thing of, well, everyone's going to be saved with it. And so they just say, well, you know, nothing can thwart the will of God. And so, you know, everyone's going to end up saved in the end. You know, even though if you really compare the verses, you know, there are some, you know, kind of leaps that have to be taken in order to get to that type of thought process. Most of the time, those leaps end up involving the fact that we have to start changing the meaning of some words, so that way they don't have that same impact as they once did. So, for example, the things of eternal and everlasting and forever, well, you know, they don't really mean that there's no end to them. They just mean the fact that it's an age. And so there's going to be an end of those things. And once there's an end of that, you know, age, then somebody's going to have that opportunity for salvation. You know, and so when you talk about the lake of fire being for all of eternity, well, you know, it's only going to be for an age, because it's going to purify someone from their sin, and then once they're purified, they're able to come out and be part of God's kingdom. Now, like I said, there are some leaps in things that have to occur in order for somebody to be saying that is accurate. You know, yes, it is God's will that all men would be saved, and it's God's will that all men would to come unto the knowledge of the truth. The unfortunate thing is that not all of mankind is going to receive salvation. Not all of mankind is going to put their trust in the gospel message. Unfortunately, there will be a number of people who are going to reject what God has done for them. You know, and reject it, you know, very willingly to say that that is not accurate. And when you look at how God looks at things, let's go over to Romans chapter number 5. Because as these people are rejecting it, they're really in a position of where they are enemies outside of what God is doing. But you see how God speaks about the love that he has for mankind. And let's, here in Romans chapter number 5, we're going to start here at verse number 6. And we're going to read down through verse number 8. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So, the Lord Jesus Christ died for individuals, even though they were contrary to everything that God was doing, and the end result of it is that all of mankind can have that opportunity for salvation and have it as part of that demonstration of God's love toward man. And you see, if we had gone over into 1 John, you see how John identifies that God is love. You know, that's part of who he is. Over in the book of Titus, we see how the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. So, the grace of God already has appeared to all of mankind. So everybody has that opportunity, and it's up to individuals to really make that choice of whether they're going to accept this offer that's being made or whether they're going to reject the offer that's being made. You know, and that's really what happens with the idea of a gift, is that a gift is being given and a person has that opportunity to either accept that gift, or an individual can make that choice of, you know what, I don't want this gift, I'm going to reject it and I'm going to try to do something else. I'm going to try to figure out a different way to try to earn it, or I don't even want what is being given to me as a gift. You know, these are the choices that an individual is making. And, you know, like I said, it's a willing decision that individuals make of whether they're going to accept what's being given or they're going to reject it. But God wants all of mankind to truly accept those things. He wants us to be part of what he's doing. He wants all of mankind today to be putting themselves in a position to where they would be with the Lord Jesus Christ, ruling and reigning with him in the heavenly places for all of eternity. And next week, we'll continue looking at some things here in the book of 1 Thessalonians. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of previous messages. We have some charts to help you in the study of God's Word. We have information about how to join our Sunday service and our Wednesday night Bible study, it live as they're being broadcast on Facebook. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything in our broadcast, anything you read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.